Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Have you ever had one of those occasions where you're out in the shops, or maybe you're down at the local Bunnings, and you run into someone that you vaguely know, right? And you have that conversation. How you going, mate? Right? Good. You? Yeah, I'm all right. Yep. Oh, see you later. Right? And then you walk away realizing, first of all, I'm not even sure who that was, maybe. And I actually have no idea how they're really doing, right? You ever have that? Anybody? Okay, a few of us. You know, sometimes prayer can kind of feel like that. Anybody understanding what I'm saying? You know, it's friendly, familiar, but it's surface. And if we're honest, there's no depth to it. Sometimes we say the right words. Dear God, thank you for the day, and thank you for the food we're about to eat, even when we're not eating, because that's the automatic prayer. And there's no realness to it. Why is it like that? I'm going to suggest to you today that prayer is hard. Prayer is hard. And it's not because we don't believe in God. It's not because we don't want to pray. It's because maybe life is loud, our minds are busy, and sometimes it just feels awkward, like we're maybe talking to the air, we're repeating words that we're supposed to, but there's just no feeling there. We wonder, am I doing this right? Is God even listening to me? Why does it feel like nothing's happening? And maybe we just conclude, well, I'm not a prayer person. Anybody at all understand that? Identify with that? This isn't rhetorical. I want to see your hands. Anybody? Okay, a few of you. Some of you that just raised your hands, I know, are you're my prayer heroes. You're the ones I think have it all together. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about prayer. Prayer is beyond any question the highest activity of the human soul. On the other hand, everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. My heart connects with that statement because prayer is hard work. This series is not for people that have it all figured out. It's for the rest of us. For those of us who struggle even though we believe. For people who want to connect with God, but sometimes we feel like we've got a bad connection. We want to help with that over the next 21 days. We're launching today 21 days of prayer. And in this sermon series, we're going to be preaching into that. And of course, you can get those messages on YouTube and on the app and all those things that you're so familiar with. But beyond that, we're going to be looking at what Jesus says about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And we've also got some prayer resources, because this 21 days of prayer is not just about Sundays. We want the whole congregation, everybody that's connected with Catalyst, and anybody that's interested, even if you're not connected with Catalyst, we want to join together for the next 21 days, starting tomorrow morning, and pray like never before. Some resources we've got for you. Out at the welcome desk, there's the new edition of the Quiet Time. It's a special edition Quiet Time tool. We do this every month. We produce these every month. But this month, it actually has more in-depth prayer points and prayer moments, and it also has instructions throughout the month about different things that will be happening. Some of the things that will be happening, you've got a prayer card also that you can get on the way out of the door if you just want to stick this on your fridge or stick it in your Bible if you don't have the quiet time. And it also has all the things that we're going to be doing. Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays here at the Werribee campus, we're going to have a prayer station set up. It'll be out in the foyer just down that hallway, and you'll see it. You'll be able to easily identify it. You can come between 10 and 3 or from 6:30 to 8, and it's just drop in. That's a place you can come to pray. It's not going to be staffed or manned or anything like that, but it's a just a quiet place for you to come and pray. On Wednesday nights, we're going to be, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing some old school prayer meetings. And while they'll be old school, we're still Catalysts, so they won't be old school. And they're going to be fun. We've got some different people groups are actually going to be leading that. This week, first week, Pacific Islanders group is going to be leading us in prayer that night. But it's not just for Pacific Islanders. We all want to come and be a part of that. On Saturdays, there's going to be prayer walks all around the community, and you have to use the QR code, go to the app to figure that out, where those are going to be. And by the way, we did a little promo on the app during announcements this morning. I don't know if you noticed that or not, because you need the app, because the app is the best way to stay connected with what's going on for the next 21 days. We're going to be pushing out prayer points every day and the notifications, and the app has all the links to everything you're going to need, so please grab the app if you haven't already. You will be disappointed if you don't. And then we're kicking that all off tonight at 6 o'clock with a praise and worship and prayer night. We're going to have stations of prayer, and we're going to sing a lot of songs and just set the tone for the next 21 days. So are we all in? All right, because the message could be done if we're all in, but I'm seeing we're not all in, so the message isn't done now. We're going to get stuck into it now. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is trying to teach us not how to impress people with our prayers, but how to have an intimate conversation with our Father. That's what he's inviting us into. And he jumps in verse 5 and says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. Now, if you've been around for a little while, those verses might sound really familiar, right? Because when we were talking about giving, Jesus said almost the identical same thing about giving your gifts, that they're not to be done for show, ultimately. The prayers in the synagogues were led by people in the synagogues, and it was really special to be invited to lead in that prayer, so it was a sign of distinction. But he talks about prayers in the street corners. Prayer was not normally practiced in the street corners, but there was a certain time of the afternoon that was the prayer time, the call to prayer. And if someone was paying attention, they could time their movements throughout the city and the community to be in the most prominent place when it just happened to be that time. So there they are on the street corner praying publicly. That's what Jesus is calling out. See, the Pharisees, as you well know if you've been around, loved to perform. They loved performance. Rather than making prayer just a matter between them and God, they made it a public spectacle. Jesus said something very different. He says this, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. He starts out with an assumption. He says, when you pray. It's not if you pray. It's not if you think about praying. It's when you pray. This is supposed to be a part of the Christian walk, of the Christian life. It's assumed that we're going to be praying. And then he presents a contrast here. He's saying it needs to be private, not public. We need to pray in private, not public. And what he's really saying is focus on the secret place, not the spotlight. Now, you're thinking, well, Pastor Enike just prayed in public, and we pray in public all the time. Here, we're going to get into that, okay? We're going to explain and understand what Jesus is saying. But here's the problem. The hypocrites that Jesus is calling out pray to be seen by others. The word hypocrite means to wear a mask. It's the performance thing we've talked about before. But prayer was never meant to be a staged performance. Prayer is an intimate conversation with God our Father. Jesus says the hypocrites loved public prayer, not because they loved God, but because they loved to be noticed. The issue, though, it's not about public prayer, it's about performance prayer. So there's nothing wrong with what we did when Pastor Enike just led us in prayer. That's fine. But Pastor Enike wasn't performing for you. He was genuinely praying. Jesus says, go be by yourself. Go be by yourself. See, and he talks about an inner room and things, but it's not about the location. This is all about motivation. It's all about the why. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to be noticed, or are you trying to have that intimate conversation with God? It's not when you, he says, go to your room and shut the door. It's not about hiding. It's about honesty. It's about getting in a place where you can be open and say whatever's on your heart to God. The room Jesus is referring to would have been a storage closet, and it was possibly the only room in the house that had a lock on it. And that's where he was telling them to go, because it was going to be a place where there's no distractions, no mobile phone service, nothing there to stop that intimacy. Jesus is saying, you need to get alone with God, because that's where the real connection is going to be made. My mind went to Elijah. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. And in chapter 19 of the book of 1 Kings, it says this. Elijah, by the way, he just had an amazing victory. And now he's running from a lady called Jezebel because he's scared after the amazing victory. We're going to get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. But it says this. The Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am now the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, Elijah has just had a big showdown. He's exhausted, and he's on the run, and he finds a cave, and he's actually hiding. And what happens? God meets him there. He meets him in that secret, quiet place. After the public fire from heaven incident that we'll, again, look at in just a minute, Elijah is distraught. He's tired. He's retreated to a cave, and God meets him there, not in an earthquake, not the wind, not the fire, but in a gentle whisper. We need to understand, one of the reasons we go off to a quiet place is because God's voice is often clearest in private stillness, not public spectacle. That's where we're going to hear God's voice. Because prayer isn't just one way. Prayer is us talking to God, but it's also us hearing from God. And Elijah was in that place, in a quiet place, where he heard from God. Jesus says, find the quiet place. Find that private place, because that's where true connection is going to happen. Jesus also set the example for this repeatedly in the Gospels. We see that after a big day of ministry, Jesus would go off. He'd say, hey, guys, you go do this. I'm going to go be alone. I need to retreat a little while and pray alone. I need to be with the Father. And friends, if Jesus needed to do that, I think we probably need that as well, because he was Jesus, right? Don't let prayer just be a Sunday habit or a meal habit that you go through that ritual. Make it a daily intimate conversation. Create your inner room. And your inner room can be your car. It can be your commute to work. It could even be the train. It's not that quiet on the train. But find a place where you can just zone out from everything around you. Put your phone away and be quiet with God. Real prayer happens behind a shut door, not a public stage. Remember that. Jesus goes on, and I love this part. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again and again and again and again and again. Right? Jesus is critiquing the wordiness of prayer by just the vain repetitions, he calls them. Long, repetitive, manipulative, if you will. See, pagan prayers piled up titles and they just went on and on without having any real meaning, but they were hoping someone would hear. The Greek word to babble means to speak without meaning. And here Jesus is telling us this. He says, our prayer needs to be personal, not pretentious. Prayer is honest, not impressive. See, Jesus isn't against repetition. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times the same prayer. Father, take this cup from me, if it's at all possible. He's warning against mindless repetition that doesn't mean anything. And manipulative prayers, the long-winded and wordy prayers that try to impress God. Like it's some spiritual shopping list or a performance monologue. In my early days of ministry, as I was just still in development, and I'm always in development, but this was a long time ago. And the church I was in, I think my prayer understanding got set way back by this guy that was in our church. He was an older gentleman, and we would have open prayer times either at prayer meetings or sometimes just a special service that was dedicated to prayer. People would be praying, and then all of a sudden you knew when John started praying. Because John had a loud, booming voice when he prayed. Not any other time, but when he prayed. And he used the King's English so that we would know we were talking to Thou Almighty Creator God. Yeah, it was literally like that, and I'm not even doing it justice. And honestly, as a young man trying to understand ministry and everything, I thought, wow, I am not a prayer person because I can't pray like that. And without crossing the line of judging him, because his heart may have been okay with what he was doing, and there may have been sincerity in that. But friends, from where I was sitting, it was very much a performance. That's what God or Jesus is calling out. Another example of this vain repetition in praying is found in Elijah. I mentioned him before. He was in a cave in Mount Horeb. But before the cave in Mount Horeb, there was a contest on Mount Carmel. And interestingly, I would suggest to you that Elijah did much better in the contest on Mount Carmel than he did in the cave, all right? Because we like that. We get energized by that kind of ministry. The prophets of Baal are crying out for hours. He challenged them to a duel, basically. He said, hey, you build an altar, put your sacrifice on it, then pray to Baal, and let's see if he sends down fire. And then I'll do the same. So it's a contest. Look at what the prophets of Baal did. It says, they prepared one of the bulls, placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, O Baal, answer us. But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. I've got to tell you, though, in the middle of here, Elijah interrupts them. And listen to what he said. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. You'll have to shout louder, he scoffed. For surely he is a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming or is relieving himself. Or maybe he's away on a trip or he's asleep and needs to be awakened. So they raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no sound, no reply, no response. That's the vain repetitions. That's the show trying to get your God to move. Then Elijah steps up, and it looked very different. Elijah said this prayer, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have not done this, that I have done this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself." That's it. Not all day, not shouting, not yelling, just one short prayer. Look what happened. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. One simple, humble prayer. Fire comes down. God responds. See, we don't need to twist God's arm. We don't need to try to convince God to do things our way. We just need to come to him as ourselves, humbly. Jesus isn't saying, never repeat yourself. He's saying, don't treat God like a vending machine, or don't treat God like he's hard of hearing. Prayer isn't a show. It's not a ritual. It's a sincere, thoughtful conversation with your Father. So Jesus is telling us, we need to get real, not religious, when it comes to prayer. I think that's why we get so confused. Prayer can, we can almost be afraid of prayer because we want to do it right. Well, doing it right looks like just a conversation. We don't need spiritual jargon. We just need a sincere heart. If you can talk to your friend, if you can talk to your spouse or your child or someone at work, you can talk to God. It's similar. We need to pray clearly and honestly. We don't have to sound spiritual. We don't have to use the King's English because God wants authenticity from us, not eloquence. Try this. And I was actually challenged on this. Deanna and I pray together, and a lot of times you're going to be shocked at this, okay? But it comes time for us to pray, and I jump right in and just start praying right away. And she asked me one day, she said, "Do you think that you're ready to pray just like that? Or maybe, what if you stopped silent for a few seconds even?" And honestly, after I got mad at her for judging my prayer, it's changed me. Because I come to that space and I stop. And I quiet my spirit. And I open myself up to be able to listen as well as talk. And you might just try this. Just start by saying, "Father, I'm here." Before you start telling him all the things you're going to tell him. Just to set the tone. It might change the way you pray. Prayer doesn't need to be impressive. It just needs to be expressive. Look what Jesus says then. This is so rich. "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." He already knows. See, Jesus is not saying, because he knows, don't pray. He's saying, because he knows, pray differently. You can pray differently. And I would suggest that Jesus wants us to be persistent in our prayers and not treat them as pointless, because God already knows what we need. He does not need information from us. Doesn't mean we don't tell him what we need. We're actually acknowledging our need when we actually tell him, "Hey, God, I know I need this, and I know you can provide it." He's not looking for information. He's looking for a connection between you and I. He is not waiting to be convinced. We're not going to twist his arm. He's waiting to be invited into that space. It's not about informing him. It's about aligning our hearts with him. Here's the twist. He already knows, but he still wants us to ask. You know, some people actually struggle with this. And sometimes I do wonder, even myself, it's like, well, if God already knows and God is sovereign, which means he's going to do everything he wants to do anyway, why bother? Anybody? Anybody think that will admit it? We kind of do sometimes. It's like, well, why bother? He already knows anyway. It's because it's not about informing God. Prayer's not about informing him. It's about forming us. This is part of the relationship formation. And the beautiful thing is this is a relationship where we can be open and honest. We can say whatever's on our mind and our heart because he already knows. And that thing that you're afraid to say to God, he already knows you're thinking it. He already knows. That's so beautiful. And again, we go back to Elijah in 1 Kings 19. And when he went off to that cave, you know, the summary of what he told God then was, I'm done. Kill me now. That was his prayer. He says, I've had enough. Kill me now. And God listens. You know what God did in response to that prayer? He didn't kill him now. He sent an angel. He sent an angel with food. And he said, hey, Elijah, you need something to eat. That's the most spiritual thing you can do right now. You're worn out. You're tired. Have something to eat. And then he told Elijah, take a nap. You're grumpy. It's time for you to get some rest. That was God's response to, I'm done, kill me now. God can handle the I'm done, kill me now prayer. And his response might be different than you expect. He's not going to be grumpy with you and angry with you. He might provide exactly what you need. Relationship built over time, even in weariness. If you read the Psalms, I don't know if anybody's a fan of the Psalms, but when we read the Psalms, we see David's prayers, and they are so open and honest. And a lot of the things where he's talking about how great God is, those things make it into our worship songs, and we sing about how great our God is. If you've read the Psalms, if you haven't, you want to go check this out now. David said some things to God that we would never put in our worship songs. We would actually say, David, you need some counseling. How dare you talk to my God like that? Seriously, like he told Goliath the time when he killed Goliath. He said, why are you talking about my God like that? Well, David was just as bad sometimes. He told God, I'm frustrated with you, God. I'm angry with you, God. You're not doing what I think you should do, God. Usually then he said, but you are God. God can handle that. David was a man after God's own heart. He wrote the songbook in the Bible. But yet he was honest and open because he had that deep intimacy with God. See, that's what Jesus invites us to. He invites us to pray because the Father loves to respond, not because he forgets our needs. See, persistence in prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's about expressing our faith that he hears. It's like a parent who knows what your child needs, but you still actually like to hear them ask for it. Any parent like that? You should be if you're not. See, God's not reluctant. He's ready. He's waiting to hear from us. So don't withhold what's in your heart because he already knows and he's waiting to respond. So we need to lean in and not hold back. Let me ask you, what are you holding back from God? What are you afraid to say to God? Because as you're thinking it, he already knows it. Stop holding back because that is blocking the intimacy that he wants with you through your prayer. See, prayer isn't pointless. Because God already knows. It's powerful because you and you and you and you and you, you over here too, are his child. Change your mentality. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of getting prayer wrong. Come to him as daddy, as papa, whatever you call your father. Because prayer isn't about unlocking God's care for us. Prayer is about unleashing our trust in him. Prayer is where we wrestle. It's where we surrender. It's where we trust. It's less about the perfect script, perfect words, and more about a willing heart. And whether you are on the mountaintop with Elijah on Mount Carmel, or whether you are hiding in a cave right now on Mount Horeb like Elijah did, whether you feel like shouting, and when we sing these songs, there's people that throw their arms up and they're belting it out, and there's people that just can't be moved because they're hurting so much. God will meet you in either place. That's the beautiful thing. See, God doesn't grade us on our prayers. He just invites us to be real and be honest. You don't need a platform. You don't need the perfect script. You just need a right heart. Today, we are launching 21 days of prayer as a community of faith. We're going to be doing this together. And you're probably sitting there right now thinking, man, you've talked a lot about personal and private this morning. Yeah, because if we're going to do this as a community of faith together, it starts with each of us individually coming before him in prayer, making that commitment. It's not about adding pressure to your life. It's about adding power to your life. This week, if this is an area of struggle for you, don't try to start with long prayers. Oh, I need the sweet hour of prayer. I've got to pray for hours on end. Start with 5 minutes. That's the challenge to you this week. 5 minutes a day. Set aside that 5 minutes. Make it the same 5 minutes every day. Choose a place so you can make it consistent. And you know when you enter that place, okay, that's going to be your prayer time. And then be honest. Pour out your heart to God. Leave the phone away from that place, except for if you're getting notifications on the prayer app. And spend that time alone with God. And then take advantage of some of the corporate stuff that we've got so that you can get with others. And you know what I'd love to hear? I'd love to start hearing some stories, even this week, about how God's changing your prayer life by you doing this. Now, hey, if you already do better than the 5 minutes or more than the 5 minutes or whatever, don't reduce what you're doing in prayer. But make sure, do a heart check. Make sure that it's intimate. Make sure it's honest. Make sure you're coming to God with that. The power of prayer isn't in the words we say. You might spend 5 minutes and not say a word, but have a heart tuned into God. It's not in the words we say, but it's in the heart of the one that God is listening to. Imagine, I love my grandkids because they'll write stuff, they'll draw pictures, and they'll write notes telling us how much they love us and things. And when you get one of those, what do? If you're a grandparent, maybe you've never experienced this, or if you're a teacher, if you're somebody that has gotten a note from a child, and a shaky handwriting, you can barely read it. You look at it and say, yep, throw that in the bin. No way, no way. You put it on the fridge. It goes right to the pool room, right? We keep that, we treasure it. I kind of think that's our prayers to God. I think that's what he thinks. He probably looks at it sometimes and thinks, oh, that's so cute. But he wants to hear it, and he treasures our prayers. I'm going to invite you to stand because we're going to close the service as we sing again. But I want this to be your commitment this week. I will seek God in the secret place. and believe him for more in this place. That's my heart for this 21 days of prayer, that each of us individually would seek him in the secret place and believe him for more in this place. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for meeting with us today. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, it's a struggle for most of us. Many of us, most of us probably don't feel like we're great prayers. Lord, I know I don't. But Lord, thank you for listening anyway. Thank you for listening to our hearts. Thank you that it's more than a song that we sing when we worship you. And thank you for teaching us to pray. And Lord, as we learn more over the next 2 weeks, I pray, Lord, that you would just change us. I pray that you would instill a culture of prayer in our personal lives and then in this place. And Lord, may we see you moved by our prayers, because we finally get to a place where we're willing to offer them to you. Thank you, Lord, for listening. And thank you for going with us from here. In Jesus' name.